how do we love God? We know that God loves us. We know that God likes us. We know that God cherishes each and every person in this room right now. But how do we love God? What should we do? Should we get God some flowers? Should we get him some chocolates? Should we mention him favorably in polite communication? Should we be all about him having something that looks like Valentine's Day? How do we now love God, knowing that he loves us? What should we do? I'm Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And we start our first week in a series of four on how I love you. Specifically, not how you love me, but how we love God. How I love you. And there's different ways we can do that. And we're going to explore them over the next 4 weeks. And each one has got an emoji that goes with it. You know the emojis, you send them all the time, right? Yeah, this one is a heart emoji. You guys can all do that, right? Heart emoji. During the pandemic, everyone was doing this, you know, yeah. This is the heart emoji. The heart emoji that we're going to talk about. How do we love God? How should we walk? What should we do? Some people, some leaders, some influencers, some people in responsibility and leadership, they try and coax us into walking a certain way. They might say to us, walk this way. Some of you have the Tyler Perry song stuck in your head right now, and I just said those few words. Some of you have the Run DMC version in your head. Walk this way, right? How should we walk? How should we walk in our community? What should we watch out for when we are walking? Walking and watching out for where we're walking was never more sure to me and my family than when we first moved into our house in Safety Harbor. It was a busy time. My daughter Jordan was graduating Palm Harbor University High School. My son Max, my third child, was going into middle school in a different town. A lot of transitions, and I was graduating from seminary. It was just a busy time, and then we moved house as well at the same time. And so we had this house in Safety Harbor. And Lindsay, my sister-in-law, who works Holy Grounds over here normally, she was in town, and she was in our house, and she was planning for the next child, you know, baby showers and all that kind of thing. And everybody was in our house, a load of people in our house. And I don't know why, when everybody gets together in the family, everybody else thinks somebody else is watching the children, don't they? Everybody else thinks, well, don't worry about that. So-and-so's got him. Yeah, don't worry about her. She's got it. And Isabel was only 2 years old. She was such an adventurous little girl, running around and exploring outside. And like I said, we just moved into the house, and there was different things that needed doing. There was a little pond out the back, 3 foot long and about a foot wide, and had one of those fountains that kept, wasn't really working very well, and I had to clean it out, you know, kind of thing. And so the pond wasn't really functioning like it should do, and it kind of stunk, you know. It was black, and it was all sorts of stuff. I'll get to it another day, you know, it'll be fine. Sure enough, Isabel was outside walking by the pond, 2 years old. She was walking by the pond and exploring, yeah. You don't look out for things when you're 2 years old, right? All of a sudden, from inside the house, we hear this almighty, ah! And Jack has got Isabel, my son Jack, who was in the medical program at Palm Harbor, has Isabel over his knee performing infant CPR. He'd found Isabel face down in said pond, and he dragged her out and basically saved her life. We were like, ah, what the heck's happening? I found her in the pond, and she was almost drowning, and we brought her back. And so after a couple of clothes changed, 5 hours in the emergency room, and a chest x-ray, we found out that Isabel was okay. And Isabel is walking, and she's still walking outside today. She's 9 years old now. But we have to be careful where we walk, amen? We have to be careful where we walk, depending on how old we are. We have to be careful where we walk in the surroundings that we're in. We have to be careful who we're influenced by and who we watch and who likes our stuff and who we think that likes us. We have to be aware of where we are walking. Never was this more true for Israel. Israel had been walking all their life. First of all, they were walking in slavery in Egypt. They hated that walk, and they asked God, begged God, could you get us out of here? And they sent them Moses, and Moses walked them out of Egypt while they were getting chased by the Pharaoh through the Red Sea as the Red Sea parted open, and they walked through on dry land. When they got to the other side, Miriam did a dance and a song. After they walked through there, then they walked and rambled and wandered in the wilderness, in the desert, begging God, God, show us who you are. Provide for us. There's no water out here. Wouldn't you leave us in Egypt so we could rot? And God provided manna and quail. And they walked with God. Sometimes they forgot their walk. They forgot how they had walked and how they now should walk. And today's scripture that was read to you today by the Boy Scouts helps us understand where they are. It's in the Old Testament. It's in Micah. And you guys can go there now. There's a Bible in front of you. Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. This is one that I want you to pay attention to. Micah chapter 6 is a minor prophet. He's minor because he only wrote a minor book. There's only 6 chapters in it. And he wrote a message to Israel. In fact, he was a prophet. His name means God sees. And so he writes this prophecy or this word for us today. And we'll get to the bit that I want you to focus on. But Micah is a prophet, a mouth of God. And he speaks what God is saying, and he speaks what Israel is saying, his people are saying. And he says to them, he speaks for God, and he says, what have I done to you to make you tired of me? This is God now. What have I done to you to make you tired of me? Answer me. This is God speaking to Israel. I brought you out of Egypt. I redeemed you from slavery. I sent Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to help you. Don't you remember my people? Don't you remember what I've done for you? Remember your journey through Gilgal. And when I, the Lord, did everything I could to teach you about my faithfulness. And God is saying that to Israel. God is saying that to Israel, and he's saying to them, how have you forgotten how to walk? What is it that you've forgotten that you can't remember? I mean, seriously, you forgot the whole slavery thing? You forgot how I delivered you? You've forgotten how you wandered in the desert? You've forgotten how to walk with me? They've been enticed and influenced by other rulers and other leaders and other shakers of the day. What should we do, says Israel? This is the scripture I want you to focus on. Chapter 6, verse 6. Micah now is speaking, before he was talking for God, now he is speaking for Israel, his people. It shows you he loves his people. Now he speaks for Israel. He says, what can we bring to the Lord? Should we bring him burnt offerings? Should we bow before God Most High with offerings of yearling calves. See, Israel knew in the Old Testament that if something was wrong, if there was a reason to realign with God, if they had wandered off from their walk, Israel knew that in order to walk back onto the walk, to get back to where they're meant to be, that there was something to be done. There was a sacrifice to be had. There was something that had to be attributed for that sin. And back in the Old Testament, it was the blood of animals. And they would give offerings of animals. And half the animal would be used for sacrifice, and half of it would be used for food. And they would bring it to the priest. And the priest would say, your sins are absolved. And Israel, once again, through Micah, knew that they had wandered off from their walk. They knew that they weren't walking the way they were meant to. And so they say to God, through Mike, what should we give you? Should we give you yearling calves? Should we make a sacrifice? And he goes on to say in verse 7, should we offer him, God, thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Obviously, Micah is now exaggerating. He is using hyperbole to get his point across, which I never in 10,000 years would ever use exaggeration to bring over a point. Some of you got that. Micah is using all he can to get God's attention. He says, should we bring thousands of rams, 1,000 animals to appease you, to get your attention? Should we give you thousands, 10,000 rivers of oil? Oil is what we use for healing. Will this be good for healing for our sins, God? And they go the whole hog. And this next little bit of this verse shows you that they had been influenced by other people, influenced by other leaders. It is influenced by other those who were in responsibility in those days. And Micah says, should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sin? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sin? They were being influenced by other deities of the day. They were being influenced by other, those in responsibility, those who called themselves leaders, those who had wandered off the walk with Yahweh. In fact, there was a deity that everybody believed in the day called Molech. Yeah, it sounds like a cuss word, doesn't it? Let's say it together. Molech. Yeah, it sounds like a cuss word. And this God, this deity, in order to get this God's attention, in order to get this deity's attention, this person that believed him, they would sacrifice their firstborn children to get his attention. Sure, you want my attention? Bring your children to me, and we will place them on the altar at Topheth. And this is a place in Jerusalem. They would bring their children up to Topheth, and when they sacrificed them there, they would throw them in the Valley of Hinnom, known to us in the New Testament days as Gehenna. And this was a burning place of sulfur where all the children who had been sacrificed were placed. You want my attention? Bring your firstborn to me. What we believe about Yahweh, about our God, really matters. Amen? God in the Old Testament never wanted us to sacrifice children so that we might atone for our sin. Amen? God of the New Testament, whether you think that's different or not, never wanted us to sacrifice children to get his attention and atone for sin. Amen? In fact, God flipped the whole thing over and he sent his only son for our sin so that he might get our attention. And we're like, whoa, wow, that's how much you love us. That's how much you care for us. That's how much you want to be in my life. That's how much that you want us to walk in our lives. And I know there's other people out there trying to influence you. I know there's other people, so-called leaders, people in power and responsibility trying to get you to walk another way. And I know that you think there are some things that you could do, habits you could possibly change, things you could possibly do to not sin anymore, not do stuff that's not good for you, to love God a bit more. And there's people that you choose to follow that will help you in your walk. Steven Tyler's song did not help us walk a certain way. nor did Run DMC, nor do popular leaders of the day who've got lots of likes on their TikTok page. We follow Jesus. We follow the Son who died on the cross so that he might get our attention. And how does this relationship flash out? He got our attention. How can we get his attention? What should we do that might get God's attention? I mean, he doesn't want the calves. He doesn't want the sacrifice anymore. He doesn't want the same thing that Molech wanted. He doesn't want that kind of thing. What does he want in order for our lives to reflect him? What does he want that we might have a right relationship with God? This is not about guilt or shame. This is about how could possibly people, other people around me see that I love God? What is it that I can do so that other people will know that I love God? Verse 8. Micah 6, verse 8 says this. This is one you probably should stick on your fridge. No! In response to the last verse. No! Says Micah. You're not meant to do that. No, O people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what he requires. To do what is right. To love mercy. And to walk humbly with your God. Three simple rules. A simple day today. Simple start for the series. What does God require of us so that we might show our love to him? Micah says, no, you're not to do what everybody else is doing. You're not to do what they do for Molech. You're not to sacrifice calves anymore. Here's what I've said to you all along. Here's what I've said to you all the way through the first writings, teachings, prophets in the Old Testament. It's still the same. First thing up. What's the first thing? Do what is right. Do what is right. Do what is just for people. Do things that make sense, that sound like, smell like, taste like what God would want for a person's life. Do things that would bless a person. Do things and treat people like you would want to be treated. Do what is right. The next thing, that's the first one. Do what is right. Do what is just. The second thing that God requires of you in order to love him is to love mercy. To love mercy. And in my 13 months here at this church, it's still pretty new, I have noticed that this church loves mercy. It loves to show mercy to others in our community through many different systems, through Pack a Sack, through blessing those who are poor, through helping hands. This church shows mercy, amen? And there's lots more to do. There's a lot more just things we can do. There's a lot more right things we can do for people. There's a lot more mercy that we can do. Just in our Palm Harbor and North Pinellas area alone, that we can be right and we can show mercy. What's the last thing? So one is do what is right. Two is show mercy. And the last one is what? Be humble. Or walk humbly. Walk, but I'm really humble. I've always been humble. You ever seen me? I'm always humble. I missed the point, right? What does humility look like? It means being careful, being circumspect, looking out for things that might not help us walk properly. Listening to other people more than we're ready to talk. It means being willing to learn from those around us. Being humble. It doesn't mean thinking less of yourself. It doesn't mean thinking, well, I'm not that good. I've never really been that good. No one ever thinks anything of me. And nobody listens to me, you know. C.S. Lewis, a great Irish poet, great Irish theologian for many years, said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Not thinking less, I'm nothing, I'm nowhere, I'm not going anywhere, no one ever thinks I'm going to do anything. But thinking of yourself less. What can I do for this person? I've got everything. I've got food. I've got shelter. I've got a God that loves me. I know that I'm loved. I know that I'm liked. I know that I'm cherished. How else can I show that to somebody else? How can I love God through my actions? So that's in the Old Testament. That's what Micah says in the Old Testament. What is said in the New Testament? What is said in our Bibles later on? And you guys can go there if you want. James chapter 1. If you're on your phone, you can just type it in right there. But James chapter 1 is where else he talks about what else we can do. James is speaking to the new believers. And he talks to them about listening and doing and what they can do. He says to them, humbly accept. This is verse 11. Verse 21. Humbly accept the word of God that is planted in your hearts, for that has the power to save your souls. Don't just read it. Don't just listen to it. Do it. Humbly accept the word of God that's planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. Don't listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. And in verse 27, pure and genuine religion, pure and genuine affection and love for God is this: caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. James is pretty clear. Look after orphans and widows. Look after those who are marginalized. Look after those who would love to hear of the love of God, who would love to hear that they're liked, would love to hear that they're cherished in the eyes of God. Show love through these ways. And I want you to be careful. I don't mean like taking care all the time, like your mom says to you, be careful, not like that. I mean, I want you to take care of where you're walking. I want you to look out for 3-foot ponds and, you know, be careful of the, might need cleaning out. I want you to look out for the kind of people that you listen to, that you pay attention to what likes you're getting. And the other thing I want you to do today is remember this verse. This is my challenge to you today. If you remember no other verse, I want you to, I don't know, screenshot it and put it on your phone so every time you open your phone, it comes up there. This verse, Micah chapter 6, verse 8. How do you want to love God? Should we do what everyone else says? Should we follow what everybody else is doing these days? Should we? Good job. No, over here. No. No. The Lord has told you what is good. The Lord has told you how you can love him. It's like this. This is what it requires of you: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Amen? One of the other ways we love God is we do what he says to do. And there were two things he said specifically to do. One was to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The other was, do this in remembrance of me. And that was to take communion together. And that's what we call them, sacraments, because Jesus said to do them. So we're going to do that together. Please prepare your hearts for communion.
As we prepare our hearts for communion, want to share with you, you will be directed to stations. Go to the station nearest you. There are 5 around the room. You will receive the bread and the cup, and there are trash cans for you to dispose of the cups. There are also gluten-free for those who would like them at the station. Just ask your servers there. If you are not able to receive by coming forward, just raise your hand and the ushers will bring a serving team to you. Christ, our Lord, hear this invitation. He invites all to his table who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed. We have not done your will.
We have broken your law.
We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors.
We
have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let's take a moment for silent confession. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now may the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism and of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave yourself to the church. Delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And on the night in which he gave himself up for us as a love offering, as a desire to want to be in relationship with us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and says, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will
come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the will, the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to the whole world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, our honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.